one verse that I think helps when we talk about restoration from these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Because we don't want you to leave with the thought that if you have fallen prey to the vices of the enemy, that there is no way back. But there is a path of recovery. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it speaks, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." And what this is saying is that the world has a way in which it says, "I'm sorry." But that usually is, "I'm sorry because I've been caught." I'm not sorry because how God views this sin. You know, it's like a child who stay away from the cookie jar. Mom or dad finds his hand in the jar and they get a spanking. "I'm only sorry that you caught me with my hand in the jar." But godly sorrow says, as Ben says, that we have a right perspective of sin. We see it from how God sees it. That God looks at sin, it's the most horrible thing. And, you know, you go back to Genesis, to Adam. "What hast thou done?" I mean, Adam could not have imagined what that one act of disobedience would have resulted in. We see it today. But when we fall into sin, it's to see it from God's perspective and have this godly sorrow. It says it works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Meaning, I'm not going to go and do this thing again. Because, not that I may not be tempted to, but because I have a certain perspective now as to how this has affected God. And when I have that godly sorrow and there's that restoration, it's something that I don't return. I don't put myself in situations. I don't play with it. I don't, you know, I stay as far away from it as I can because I understand what the result was the first time. And I understand how this has affected God and me as well.
And that's the point Chuck actually was talking when he, you know, you were talking about he prayed. And that's again, it is the sign of dependence. He went to the Lord and he said, "I cannot live without you. I'm dying out here. I need help." And when he is in God's presence praying for it. So in this chapter we have the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. We have the water, the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You know, a water came out, so his soul, his spirit revived. He was refreshed as a result of being in the Word of God. And for the first time, Samson doesn't call them Philistines. He calls them uncircumcised. Mm-hmm. He finally has the right perspective on these people. Mm-hmm. They don't please his eyes anymore. They're not even Philistines. He sees them as God sees them. Uncircumcised. People who act in the flesh. How did he get to that point? How do we look at sin like Samson? Like Chuck was saying. He prayed. He realized that he needed to depend on God. And when he was in the presence of God, drinking from the Word of God, he has the right perspective on these people around him, and he called them uncircumcised.
And that lasted 20 years, we believe. I want to go up back to the question that was mentioned here a moment ago. And that is, how do I experience continual deliverance? I'm kind of paraphrasing what you were saying. We had before us the other evening Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two teachings that you perhaps will find in Romans 12, 1. One of the teachings I think is a good application, but I don't think it's the correct interpretation. One of the teachings is that this presenting is a continual thing. I don't think that's exactly right in the context of these verses. But I believe there is a time in the life of a Christian when I consciously present my body to Him. We said the other evening, it's not usually at the same time of conversion. It is a time down the road when my heart has been exercised. But there is a giving of myself to the Lord. I present my body to Him. Well, how do I present it to Him? I give it to Him as a living sacrifice. Holy. It says, acceptable unto God, which is our intelligent service. This is the means that the Spirit of God uses to keep the believer as we go through this scene. I'm not saying that there's not recovery, but I think what Tony said is a really solemn point. When I have fallen into some of these sins, there is a stigma that is attached to it. I may be recovered fully and completely, but there will always be something there that will hinder my usefulness to the Lord, at least as compared to what it could have been. So these are solemn things that we need to take to heart. Have I given? I didn't ask you if you're saved. But I've presented myself to Him in the light of what this verse says. Paul doesn't say, I commanded. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren.
Salvation is free. Discipleship is costly.
Somebody told me that the problem with the living sacrifice is that it wants to crawl off the altar, even though you're not supposed to be presenting yourself every day. You have to stay on that altar in that place of submission to God to experience the good of that. And that is service.
If I may mention about the question, I was talking with a brother yesterday about basically the same question, and he really helped me to understand it more, as it's been something I've been going through. But Hebrews chapter 12, an exercise I've been having is, so often we like to look at ourselves, and so often we like to see, I am not enough. It's all about me. What can I do to make myself better to God? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And I think the real answer to how do we, it's not us cleansing ourselves. It's not us not returning. It's who's our focus on. And Hebrews chapter 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, comma. It's not period. And we have the answer, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so no matter what we try to do and how often we like to puff ourselves up and say, well, I got this right in my life and I did this, and it's not us, but Christ who liveth in me.
Maybe one last thought is on this question. A very wise brother told me once that in this Christian life you're either living or you're dying. And so we can take that in a positive way, that I can, in order to stop me backsliding or doing something that will hinder my progress, I have to be moving forward. I have to be living. And we can take it in a negative way that, you know, if I'm not always moving forward, then I'm backsliding. But both ways, it will help us to understand that we always have to be moving forward or else we're going backwards. There's no plateau that we get to and we can just wait there and rest and, you know, we'll stay at the same level all the time. No, we're either winning or losing the spiritual battle that we're in.